Hey, thanks for listening to this message. You can find more messages online at fusionbz.com.
What I'm going to talk about is generational iniquities, legacies, identity, those type of things that, you know, when we first came here to Belize, I often heard people say, well, Penners have that trait. The Penners, they do this. Or Duicks, they have a certain trait. Or Pletts. I'd always hear these family names, and they'd be saying, oh, they're like this. I'm thinking, well, they can't all be like that, you know? Is this real or imagined, you know? But I've come to realize that it's definitely real. In a colony where you have a lot of relatives, you see it more. We don't see it so much back in the States because we're spread out a lot more. But I've come to see that a lot of the traits they recognize in a family, they're real. They have followed down through the family. And some of them are excellent traits, very good traits. Some of them are not. We have to realize that things pass down generationally, not just good, but bad as well. And the devil is out to make those generational things permanent in your life as well, the bad things. Not the good things, the bad things. Let's look at a scripture. Let's start off with Exodus 34:7, New Living Translation. I lavish failing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon the children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. There's another scripture similar to this in Jeremiah that says that I give blessings for 1,000 generations, that he blesses people. 1,000 generations later, they're still receiving a blessing from what that first generation had done that was right, that followed the Lord. Here it says so clear that he forgives our iniquities, our rebellion, our sin. He forgives all that, but nevertheless, there is a price to pay for sin. And it does follow down to the third and fourth generations. Fourth generation is grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So well, your sin does affect down to your great-grandchildren. And of course, if it affects your children, it affects their great-grandchildren. So it follows down through generations in that exact way. Some generational things I noticed in my family. Now, how much of this is spiritual and how much is just you do what you see done? I can't say. I think it's a combination of both. But when I grew up, my dad was very loud. He was always loud. And when he got mad, everybody knew he wasn't happy. There was no question about that in the family. And so that was something that our family, it was a trait our family had. And when I married Rachel now, her family was totally different. They were quiet. When her dad got mad, you couldn't tell. If you could tell, it was because he was quieter. I mean, he got quieter when he was mad, and I'm sure I probably got him mad many times and never knew it. But, so we got married, and I'm sure it was a wake-up for her the first time I raged, because she never heard that in her family. That never happened in her family, but it was always in my family, so that was all I ever knew. But that's one of those iniquity, generational things that are just passed down. You only do what you know, and if that's all you've ever seen, that's what you carry forward. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't have to carry that forward, okay? As we continue here, you'll see that those chains can be broken and will be, and it's up to you to do that. We see some very bad iniquities, or sins, I should say. These are sins that are passed down from one generation to the next. Drinking, lying, stealing, drug addiction, fiery temper, fighting, cheating, unfaithfulness, adultery, all those things, they're terrible things that you see in so many families. You see that the grandfather was that way, the father was that way, the son was that way. You see his children are following the same path. And you know, if history runs its course, it will continue on unstopped for many, many generations, probably never stop. But as Christians, we have the power to stop that. We don't have to allow those things to continue. We have what we need to stop that in its tracks. The way that we respond to things a lot of times is it's a default in us. In other words, if nothing changes, we're going to respond the same way we've learned. It's the same things we've learned all our life. And so we need to be reprogrammed in that way. And we don't want to pass that legacy on to our children, what we don't like that was passed to us. Now, just for an example of how this works, and many of you may have heard this example before, but it's so powerful, I just want to share it again. There was a guy this is many years ago, it was early 1900s, who was doing research in prisons to see what causes people to commit crimes generationally. And he noticed something, that different prisons had people that were relatives. And so he started following that family line back, and he followed the whole way back to a man named Max Jukes. This was many generations before that, but it all came back to this man. And when he tracked his generational line, he found out that they counted 1,026 people were in his line that they could track. 1,026. But they found out that 300 of those had died very young. 190 were public prostitutes. 100 were sent to jail for an average of 13 years apiece. That means they'd done bad stuff, because you don't go to jail for 13 years over minor things. There was 100 drunkards. And there's a whole lot less of other things that the family was not very productive. In fact, that family alone cost the state of New York, that's where this was done, cost the state of New York way back then $1,200,000. And there was no record of any helpful contribution to society from that family at all. Now, this guy, this Max Jukes, let's look at him a little bit. He didn't believe, he was not a Christian, he didn't believe in Christian training. And he married a woman also that did not believe in Christian, that did not believe in Christ. They were worldly, and the devil had his way with their family, their legacy. Now, at the same time, at the same year that this Max Jukes lived, they tracked another generation, a guy named Jonathan Edwards, and also from New York, from a nearby state, and they tracked his generation down through. Now, this man was a Christian. He married a Christian woman, and they had a very godly household. And when they tracked their generation of 729 people, 300 of them were pastors or missionaries. 300. 65 were college professors. 13 were university presidents. 60 were authors of Christian books, mostly. Three were United States congressmen, and one was a vice president of the United States. There was only one grandson in that whole line that married a woman of poor character that cost the state of New York anything. In fact, they paid a lot of taxes. So we can see that that these generational things are very powerful, and decisions you make every day of your life do affect your children, their children, and to the amount that they affect them, it will continue down for many, many generations to come. So your choices do have a long-term effect on your family line. The sins you, the effects of your sins will affect your children and on down through their children and their children. Now, what is a generational iniquity? We hear the term iniquities a lot. Is iniquity sin? No, iniquity is not sin in itself, but it's a bent towards sin, or it's a tendency towards a certain kind of sin. It's a vulnerability to certain temptations that seem to follow down through. Now, they lead to sin. Because of the iniquity, it causes you to sin, but the iniquity itself is not the sin. Some people say, well, I noticed certain things in my family, so I made a vow that will not happen in my family. You know, you ever heard that? People say that, you know, like this one I know that when they grew up, they were very their family was wealthy, but they didn't reap any of the benefits to the kids. In other words, the kids didn't get anything. Growing up, they grew up like poor kids, but their family was wealthy. And I remember hearing them say that, man, when I have kids, I'm going to give them everything I can. I'm going to make sure they have plenty. And so, of course, that we can guess what happened in that family. Those kids, they did that with their kids, and those kids grew up so unthankful and entitled that they even had more character problems than the parents. So sometimes we don't follow the exact thing, but we have the same inner attitude of rebellion that tends to cause even worse problems down through our children. So but that pendulum can swing the other way and still cause the same problems, is what I'm saying. But the biggest attack on a person that the devil wants to do is to your identity. And these generational things, that's the first thing that the devil can get. If he can rob your identity, if he can make you not know who you are in Christ or distort who you think you are, he can affect your life the whole way down through your entire life. And I know this because I struggled in my identity from a very young age. I struggled for many years. And the Lord helped me overcome that. My Christian, becoming a Christian made a big difference in me. And when I learned who I was in Christ, it affected me a lot. And going to the mission field helped a whole lot with my own self-respect and my own, I didn't feel so inferior as I did when I was young. But it wasn't until I actually went to Potter's that I discovered where it came from. I never knew that. I thought it's just, and something probably happened to me and caused it. I didn't know. But by going through Potter's, he revealed to me that it was from my mom. It was an iniquity. It was a problem that my mom had. And when he showed it to me, it was so clear. It was like, how did I ever not see that? You know, those things that, man, I can see all the things I struggle with, my mom struggles with the exact same things. Now, I've been able to get free with it, but I'm sad to say my mom at 87 has never gotten free from that. And it's ruined her life. I mean, she has very few friends. She did not live a fruitful life because she didn't know who she was in Christ. And so I'm here to tell you that if you don't discover some of these things, especially the generational things and the identity issues, if you don't discover them, you can go to your grave being very unfruitful because you've never discovered what caused it. And let me just tell you a few things concerning your identity. Some of the things that I struggle with. Just see if any of these ring with you. Do you have trouble laughing at yourself when you do something stupid, when everybody else is laughing at you as well? I mean, I used to struggle with that. If people laughed at me, I felt, I might show like I was laughing outside, but inside I was dying. And I'd go home, and that bothered me for days. Why did I do something so stupid, you know? And I did a lot of those things, really. It's so you can see how the devil was attacking my identity. But, you know, now when I do something stupid and you laugh at me, I'm just glad I did something to make you laugh. Really, it just doesn't matter to me anymore. And I still do plenty, but that's okay. I don't struggle with that regret like I used to. Do you avoid anything that makes you stand out in a crowd? Are you afraid that people will notice you because it's risky or anything like that? Are you obsessed with what people think about you? Do you worry about that people are thinking this or people are thinking that? Is that a concern you have? Because it really shouldn't be. Do you pretend to be somebody you're not when you're around people? In other words, the people that know you good, do they know that you're not the same person at church that you are at home, or the same person somewhere else that you are the way they know you? Because that's also a sign that you don't know who you are, that your identity is not confirmed. You have issues with insecurity in who you are, and the devil loves to play with that. You know, I noticed that same trait in me, that identity, not knowing who I was, tried to pass to one of my sons. At a very young age, I noticed that my son Christian, you all pretty much know him, and if you know him, you know he does not struggle with this today. But when he was young, that same generational thing tried to go to him. The devil likes to pass that on down through somebody in the line that will keep it going.
And I noticed when he was very young, even if we would, if we'd be laughing about something that had nothing to do with him, he would get mad because he thought we were laughing at him. It was just so he would take everything personal, you know, no matter what it was. And that's a lack of knowing who you are. That's an identity issue. He was able to rise above that. But also, I can say that when I seen the biggest difference of him when he went through LCI the first time, I just seen that all many of the things he struggled with just seemed to be gone after he went through LCI. And I know it was because he knew who he really is. He knew his identity. And of course, his brothers, boys are competitive, and when they see a weakness in the other one, they exploit that, you know. So they knew how to get him to rage just like that if they wanted. But after he knew who he was, they could do that all they wanted, and it just didn't matter anymore. It took all the fun out of it for the boys, you know. But so anyway, I asked him if I could share that, and he said, absolutely, no problem, because what we tend to get through helps other people know they can get through it too, and they don't have to fall to it. These are some of the lies that the devil is, you know, he's so clever with his lies. I guess if you've done something for thousands of years, you get pretty good at it. But the devil has ways of convincing you things that anybody would say is baloney, you know. I've had people confess to me that, well, I know I'm ugly. And it's, what are you saying? Are you nuts? How did the devil convince you of that when everybody that looks at you knows you're beautiful, you're attractive, you know? Or things that people say, yeah, well, you know, I know I'm stupid. And it's, what? You're not stupid. You may struggle in one area, but you're very smart in everything else, you know? But the devil's so clever that if he can put a little bit of truth in there, just a tad bit of truth, he can make you bite the whole thing. And then you say, well, I know it's true. Well, no, it's not true. You're believing a lie. These are some of the things that people grab a hold of. You're stupid. I grabbed a hold of that when I was young. And I know I wasn't, but back then I thought I was. You're a mistake or a reject. Anybody struggle with that? Or you're ugly or unattractive. How about this one? You don't have what it takes to be a man. Or you don't have what it takes to be a woman. Or how about this one? You don't have what it takes to be a parent. Any young couples struggle with that? Nobody likes you. They just tolerate you. Anybody struggle with that one? You will never amount to anything. You're worthless. You know, the devil, if he can get somebody to act on his behalf and say something to you that will reinforce it, he will do it every time. So he works a lot through people to do this. But you know, if the devil ever tells you any truth, it's only to reinforce a bigger lie that he wants you to believe, okay? So no truth comes from the devil unless it serves his purpose of getting you to grab a hold of a bigger lie. Now, everyone longs for acceptance, affirmation. That's we all need that growing up, and it's really our parents' job to give us that when we're young. But ultimately, especially as we get older, we need to get that from God. Our significance, our value, our worth has to come from God. And this is a key thing to knowing this, is we're not valuable because of what we do. We're valuable because who we belong to. And when you belong to God, you are tremendously valuable. You know, there was a baseball that was sold not so awful long ago. It had the name Babe Ruth on there. If anybody knows, that's a legendary baseball Hall of Famer that died years ago. But his paraphernalia became very valuable. And a plain baseball from that era with no name would be worth about $50. But just his signature on there made one sell for $632,000 not long ago. I don't know who paid that. They must have had a lot of money they didn't know what to do with. But $632,000. The value went from $50 to $632,000 simply because he signed his name on it. And let me just tell you that if you're a Christian, you belong to God and you have His signature on you. Yeah, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." And His signature is the Holy Spirit is what He put on that masterpiece that's you. Ephesians 1:4, "Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes." 2 Corinthians 5:5, "God Himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit." So we have the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that those inheritance that He has for us is going to be there, and it's for us. You know, there's a lot of voices we hear. We hear the voice of the devil, we hear the voice of God, we hear the voice, our own voice in there, and of course we hear a lot of people telling us things. But, you know, when you're not intimate with God, when you don't spend that time daily with the Lord, and when you're not hearing His voice, you know who you're going to hear louder than anyone else? Is the devil. You're shutting yourself off from the one who has truth, and the devil will always talk, okay? You don't have to be close to him to talk. He'll be shouting in your ear all the time. God speaks with a small, quiet voice, and you need to seek His voice. But I'm telling you, if you fill yourself with truth every day, you will not fall to those lies of the enemy that he wants you to. You know, if we fall to these lies, these things that I mentioned, for example, say that you believe you're unattractive because the devil convinced you of that, you will spend your life trying new things to make yourself more attractive. You will just keep going after something that has no value. And this verse just explains it so perfectly. "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And that's what we do. We spend our whole life going after something that has no value at all, instead of turning our face to the God who can tell us what our value, true value is. And as Pastor Dave said this morning, when we hear that from him, it's so different that a lot of people can tell us the same thing. But when we hear it from his voice, it matters so much. It's life-changing when we hear it from his voice. You know, Jesus Christ is the one whom we get to know God through, right? That's our avenue to know God. Do you also know, though, that Jesus Christ is our avenue to know ourselves? It's the same one. It's Jesus who shows us who we truly are. Only God can create, not the devil. So why would we listen to him? He didn't create us. God did. It's the Creator that knows what, how, and for what purpose we were created. The devil can only try to keep us from finding that the truth out about that purpose. You know, I think I mentioned before about how the Lord had helped me with self-confidence. I was a very insecure young man and had a lot of inferior issues, inferiority complex, you might call it. And it was when I went to Papua New Guinea as a missionary that the Lord built a lot of self-confidence in me. He had trained me all those years. When I went over there, I was just able to do everything that needed done. And so it really built my self-confidence a lot. And that did a whole lot for me. Self-confidence, very important in a person. But I'll tell you, as I grow older, the older I get, the more I realize that there's something much more valuable than that. And it's God confidence. We can rely on ourselves so far, but it's very limited. But God, we can rely on him. It's unending. We don't have to worry about him running out. And what's God confidence mean? It just means that I know that through God I can accomplish and become all he wants me to be. And it's not through merit, but it's through grace. And no one can stop that process but me. No person can get in my way. Even the devil can't get in my way, as long as I don't believe his lies, as long as I don't let him lie to me or grab a hold of those lies. No one can stop me from fulfilling my purpose that God created me for except me. So if the devil has power over you, who gave it to him? Who gave him that authority? The only one could be you, because God certainly didn't give him. In fact, he gave the opposite. He gave you power over the devil. So if the devil's having power over you, it's because you're not exercising what you have, what God's already given you. Now, these generational iniquities, I don't want to stop short and not tell you how to get rid of them, how to stop them, but let me just say there's three steps here that I kind of put together. The first one is expose them. First, you have to recognize what they are. You have to see the things that are coming down that aren't good, and you have to recognize them and then expose them. And how do we expose them? Well, especially if you're parents, if you are the parents and you have children, be transparent with them. Don't hide the sins of the past, because if you hide the things they're going to fall to, that they're vulnerable to, you're just causing them to be blindsided by those things. So be upfront with it. Be transparent. It won't hurt you. Some people say, well, I don't want to shame those that come before me. I don't want to dishonor them. Well, you have to walk out a fine line. You don't want to dishonor them. At the same time, your children need to know what those iniquities are. They need to know what the devil is trying to drag them into in your line that they're going to fall to if history runs its course. If you don't do something to stop it, this is what's going to happen to you. So those things are important. So you need to be transparent. Secrets are the devil's chains to dragging that into the next generation. We want to break those chains. So, and of course, forgive anyone who's wronged you. Offenses are the bait of Satan, and they will take you captive, and you will never get free of something as long as you have an offense. And that offense can be unspoken. It can be something that's deep-rooted in you. That it's amazing when you really ask God and say, God, show me everything that I'm offended at. And it's amazing how things came up in me that I didn't even know that I harbored them for years. And they were subtle maybe, but they were there. And to get that out of your life, it just frees you. It really makes a difference. And then above all, make that choice to break that chain right now, not follow that iniquity, and speak it out to the devil. Out loud is good. Speak it out loud to him and tell him that you will not fall, that you're wise to his tricks. You're not going to let him have rule in your family, and then ask the Holy Spirit to help you walk it out. You know, it's not easy. It takes effort, because like any habit, you don't just one day a habit stops and you don't. So you work it. You say, no, I'm not going to go. No, I'm not going to go there. You know, you work at that, and after a while, it becomes easier. You notice that, oh, I don't struggle with that much anymore, and that's the way these things tend to be. It's not easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it because you're not just breaking them off your life. You're breaking them off your children's and on down the generation, too. When you realize all that's at stake, there's no price it isn't worth paying to do that. And gradually, you'll realize that it's just not a problem anymore. That those things, finally, it's the habit part has been broken off. I guess first you'd say you recognized it, and you broke it spiritually, but then the habitual part you also broke by effort, but you did it, and now it's just not an issue anymore in your life. And that's been the way with many things in my life. I used to have a temper, a fierce temper, and it came from my dad. I seen him always raging about something, and I raged a lot. And I think my wife would agree that I haven't raged for many long, long time. And the good part about it is it's not even a temptation anymore. You know, it's one thing to have to battle, okay, I can't do that, you know. But when it doesn't even become a temptation anymore, then it's easy. The battle's over. You can relax, you know. And that's the good part. Now, some here may say, well, my heritage is a lot like Jonathan Edwards, the man I spoke about earlier that had the godly legacy. Maybe you come from a legacy like that. Maybe your parents were godly, their parents were godly, and as far back as you know, it was godly people in your life. And if that's your confession, I'm very happy for you. And let me just say that that keep it going. At all costs, keep that going. Make good choices. Obey God in everything, and the devil will not be able to stop that legacy from continuing. Thankfulness will be the key to keeping that legacy going, though. The moment you become unthankful for what God's given you is the moment that you fall in that area, and things that generation can be attacked that way. So if you have a Christian heritage, no matter how imperfect it might have been, thank God, because those blessings reach 1,000 generations, and you keep that going. If you didn't thank your parents lately for that, do it. Thank them, because it's a great gift God's given you to have a godly heritage in your past. Many here are probably more like me, and your heritage looks a lot more like Max Jukes. In my life, as far back as I can see in either my dad's line or my mom's, there's not a Christian there anywhere. In fact, a lot of the same things in Max Jukes' heritage, drunkenness, adultery, run-ins with the law, that's both families, both, as far back as I can see. Many my age of my cousins are already dead. And whether it be through drinking or just a bad lifestyle, I don't know all of them, but my best cousin friend growing up was the same age as me, and he died last year. I didn't even know it. My sister found out and told me, but he died of cancer, but probably I do know his lifestyle was very bad, and he was... his whole life just caroused, and the devil will make you keep your life short if he can. And if you look at Max Jukes, 300 of his descendants died at a young age. No different in my family. And I know many of you can say the same thing. But I want you to know now that can be changed. You do not have to let that legacy continue at all. You can stop that in its tracks, and you can, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. But let me just say that I was born with genes that wanted to do evil. I was born with genes that weren't good, but God, and let me just say, but God, that's a theme for my life, because everything before but God was bad, and everything after but God is good. It's just a clear dividing line in my life. And but God implanted new genes in me, and gave me a new family with a new heritage. And I don't have to follow the path that the devil laid out for me. I can follow the path that God has ordained for me even before the earth began. I'd like everybody to rise, and I want to pray. And I'd like to ask the worship team to come up. And, you know, we sang that song twice, but I'd like to sing it once more. After I'm done praying, if you wouldn't mind just singing that song once more, and then everybody's dismissed when the song's over. But it's a powerful song, and chains are being broken here. As Pastor David said in the beginning, those chains can be broken today. You don't need to wait for another day. Those chains can be broken right now, and they can be broken off your life. Let's bow your heads. Let's pray. You know, if you come from a family that's dysfunctional and you want to break that chain that's trying to keep that generational sin going to the next generation, let's just pray in agreement with me this morning. Those are the people primarily that I'm praying for right now. And Heavenly Father, many people sitting here came from messed up, dysfunctional families just like I did. The devil is lying to us about who we are. And I declare now that we will not be deceived by his lies anymore. Satan, you no longer have power over us. We take back any permission we gave you. We will no longer accept your attack on our identity. We believe the value God places on us because we are his, and we are his masterpiece. We have the Holy Spirit as his signature on us and guarantee of inheritance. We cut off any generational iniquities right now. We thank you for your Spirit to guide us into all truth. We will seek your voice only, God, and not entertain the voice of our enemy anymore. You created us for a purpose, and we choose this day to seek and trust you to carry that purpose out in our lives. For us that have children, we break any iniquities that the devil wants to use to destroy our children's lives. We commit to being honest with them about where we have fallen. We choose to bring into the light the secrets of past generations so they will not be blindsided about the iniquities that have captured our forefathers. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that are still flowing from those up to 1,000 generations before us. we give you honor and glory. And I want to pray another prayer that comes straight out of the Bible in Colossians. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share an inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light, for He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins.
Hey, thanks for listening to this message. You can find more messages online at fusionbz.com.